You are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor, a hardcore look at LOTRO from a casual point of view.
A Casual Stroll to Mordor is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, the world's best gaming systems, I think. Man, where else can you go and get a nice new system and have it preloaded with the game that you want, already patched up, so you don't have to spend hours? Man, just loading all that up. Nothing's bummer than having to reinstall some of your online games. Steam does a pretty good job, but other than that, outside of that, it's really not a good time. So, Doghouse Systems, use the code 2MORDOR and you'll get twice the RAM, and you'll help out the podcast at the same time. So, that's doghousesystems.com, and if you want to get to know the guys, you can always, check them out on their podcast or on their forums. They'll help you out if you have any computer problems, whether or not you have a Doghouse system or not. We have one, and we really like it. All right. So, welcome to episode 175 of A Casual Stroll to Mordor. We're a podcast and blog, not that I know about the blog part, about Lord of the Rings Online. And Golden Star, what'd you do this week? Okay, go ahead.
This week on Dumb Time, I sat around a lot because I was caught up, but I sat there and chatted while everybody else ran around and did epics. I think Optum sat there with me too, although not together. We just kind of hung out, and then I was talking invent the entire time. I suppose I could have helped them, but then I tried chasing them around because they were like, we need to go kill these things, and they ran off, and if I just wasn't paying attention for 2 seconds, they took off. So I just went, you know what? I am just the one that brings a bunch of aggro behind me, so I'm going to go and sit in Thangalhad and wait for them. And so I did. And so this week, as soon as everybody was caught up, we did the Thangalhad skirmish, which is my favorite one, one of my favorite ones anyway. And I also want to add a congratulations to Dummy Dumb, who accepted a new position in real life and will be moving. So, but it's a good thing for him. It's a promotion, and we are all very proud of him. So congrats, Dummy Dumb. Other than that, I don't think I logged in at all this week after Dumb Time. I have not touched LOTRO.
Okay. I myself didn't do much either. I'm still working my way through Rohan, really. It was kind of interesting when I finally did get in some time to play. I found out I missed that game. I experienced one of my first areas where mounted combat in Rohan wasn't allowed, and I think I got a little irate because it was hard. It is so much harder to be a champion and take those hits sometimes. And I know me learning how to play and stuff, but it's hard sometimes to go through that and just realize, oh, I don't have that extra buffer. It's kind of rough. I don't know. So I'm feeling a little dejected, but I got through this stuff. Actually, the second time I went through it, it was a lot easier. I don't know if I just had my champion gaming face on or whatever, or I remembered to hit my oh no buttons or whatever. But it was a lot easier getting through that second time. First time I was in an orc camp, I kind of got, dead a lot of times. And I don't know, I was pretty happy with my performance the second time around. But once I got back on that horse, I was like, oh, this is so much better. So much better. I also switched to using a light steed. I was using a medium steed. And wow, the DPS difference is a lot. Although I am kind of interested in maybe boosting up his, morale or whatever the associated thing with that, stamina, endurance. Endurance, I think. So yeah, it was huge difference. It's so much nicer. And some big hits there. It's a lot of fun. Oh man, it's so much fun doing that. I really like my Mounted Combat, as much as I didn't think I would like it when I first was getting into it. I like it a lot now. But yeah, Andy B makes one good point though. One lag spike and the light horse is ripped to bits. Ugh. So annoying to get that freaking rubber banding when you're in the middle of it. Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much what I did. Had a good time, though.
Okay.
All right, so with that little...
I don't know what you want me to say.
I want you to add 10 minutes to our discussion.
I agree. I didn't do anything to add. I didn't even log into Borrower this week. Nothing. I had a busy week.
Okay. Well, we'll move into Town Crier.
And now, the Town Crier.
All right, so first going up is the Rohan instance cluster released in two parts.
Which was actually last week's news, but...
we forgot to talk about it.
It happened so early in the week. I swear it was something we talked about the week before. And then I got done, I was making show notes for the site, and I was like, we didn't talk about this.
I think a lot of people know, though.
Yeah, everybody knew. It was implied, I guess. We decided.
Yeah.
Because we didn't tell you.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's getting released into two parts. Most of you guys have known this.
Cluster.
Yeah, the instance cluster. There's going to be three-mans released pretty soon, update 9. I'm guessing by the end of the year, they've got to have update 9 out. I mean, well, it's got the Yule Festival into it. It's got to be.
I don't think the Yule Festival's... and they usually release those things on their own schedule.
Okay, but I mean, it's part of update 9 testing.
In there. It's fine.
Golden Star's a little under the weather, in case you didn't know. She's not feeling too great.
I did run all three of those. You heard me talk about it last week, where I was all like, I ran all three of the new instances, and if you didn't know about this news of the instance clusters being broken up, you're probably like, what the poop is she talking about?
Right.
So this is what I was talking about. I ran Ioburs Peak, the Webs of the Scuttadolls, and the Seat of the Great Goblin.
And in 2013, part two, there's going to be a six-man, the Bells of Dale, and then...
there's going to be four. There's going to be a six-man and 3 12-mans. Which I think are supposed to be kind of like a... what do you call them? Like an Orthanc thing where it's like wings.
Yeah, it's going to be a raid together, cluster.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and right now, the... those four, the six-man and the three-mans are planned for February, but we don't have a date, obviously. We don't even have a date for update 9 right now. So.
Okay.
That's the news. Some people are upset. You know, they bought Rohan, and then they're not going to get all the instances that come with Rohan until February.
Right.
It's a long time to wait.
Yeah, I don't know.
They've already paid for it.
You think the end game content's coming a little bit too slowly? I mean, I don't think a lot of people have... I don't know if people have been able to work through Hit Bold or Hype Bold.
I haven't even gotten there yet. I think there's people who have and there's people who are ready. You know, I don't know. I'm not a raider, and I posted that I wasn't a raider, and somebody, of course... sent me a nasty thing saying that, oh, I guess if you don't care, nobody cares. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to voice everybody. I'm just telling you, I don't raid.
How'd you know? That's true. If we don't do it, we don't care, and everybody else follows us. No, we don't care. No, I mean, I actually think that, you know, Hitbold's okay, but... there's a part of me, even though I'm not there, that says that having dailies for the end game makes me want to put a gun in my mouth. But at the same time, it's also a really nice reward. It's something cool. It's something that hasn't been done. But I look forward to it. I haven't heard any complaints about it, and that kind of surprises me.
Have you read the forums?
Okay. Well, the forums are full of complaints about everything. So, other than that, yeah, I still think that there needs to be instances. I mean, there's skirmish raids, and that's cool and everything, but everybody, I think people would like to get back to a regular raiding night. So that's one thing that is coming, though, is, what is it? Dol Guldur? No, not Dol Guldur. Ost Dunhalth or something.
What are you talking about?
The raid. There's going to be the scaling raid's going to be coming in 9 as well.
Oh, the Dol Guldur. I think you're right.
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah. So, yay. Anyways.
Braden is saying Barad Gulran.
Barad Gulran. Whatever. Whatever the raid is. There is a raid that's coming.
Well, isn't that the one that's in Dol Guldur? I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we were just calling it something different because we don't know what the crap we're talking
about.
No,
that's right. Yes. Yes. The raid, the Dol Guldur raid is going to be scalable, and then the meta deed, you can do all that, and that'll be fun. I mean, why not? It's going to give you something to do. It's not a new raid, but it is a scalable raid, and if you do it on level, it'll still be a challenge.
I've never been there.
There you go. Anyways, like we said, there's also going to be a temporary closing of the Rohan public instances. This is done on Bull Roar. That's cool. They're working on it. Did they say why?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, they didn't say...
They didn't say why, but the community is pretty much telling me it's because there's people in there forming raids, and, you know, the Turbine utilized that whole, you know, if you're in a group now, you share fellowship everything. And so people were forming raids and just farming the crap out of mobs there for, like, gold and rare loot and then selling everything on the AH and... People were pretty much just camping in there and not leaving and, you know, pretty much screwing up the economy.
Interesting.
And making it very difficult for people with the high bolt dailies in there to get stuff done because there was a raid in there insta-killing everything.
Hmm.
I mean, you have to tap it, but it has to live long enough for you to tap it.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, at least it's better that it gets... Wow. Was this on live or Bull Roar? I thought it was Bull Roar.
No, this is on live. It's shut down.
Oh, wow.
Until they can figure out a way to, you know, dissuade people from camping there.
Hmm.
Which people are like, they told you this is why they didn't want to make fellowships have experience. They told you. Well, if they knew this was going to be a problem, why didn't they foresee this is going to happen? You know, fix it. People want to play this way. People are going to do this.
Yeah, that stinks, though. Well, okay. Well, they're closed. No word on when they'll be opened, but...
I mean, people have plenty of ideas of how they could fix it, like putting timers, and if you're done with the quest, you get booted out of the public instance.
Right. That would not be a bad idea.
But I think that... Someone was telling me that they were purposely canceling the quest so that they wouldn't finish.
Oh, come on.
And stuff like that. Like, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. I'm not even close to
high gold. Is there raid stuff? I mean, what rare drops would be so amazing?
A lot of recipes. Crafter recipes were a big one, I think.
I wonder if they can make it so you can't group in the area. That would be, I mean, would that resolve it?
Do it what, hon?
If there was a way that you could make it so that people couldn't group in there.
Well, that's another option. It's a public instance. It's not, I guess there's no reason for them to group. They could just use the open tapping as it is.
All right. I was just curious. All right, that's, wow.
Yeah, the chat room is saying gold armor recipes dropped in there. And that was I don't know what gold armor recipes are, but apparently those are important. They mean something.
All right. That's cool. Well, not really at all. I mean, it's...
Well, it's good the turbine is shut it down.
I'm just wondering if...
But, you know, people are like, well, when are they going to fix it? I'm sure they're trying to fix it as fast as they can because these are part of Hype Bowl dailies. This is their end game right now. They can't have, like, part of it shut down infinitely.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I just didn't... I thought that that was... Usually when they close instances that...
Public instances.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah.
Anybody can go into them.
Okay.
J-Way is telling me that gold armor is basically first age armor, higher stats than teal.
Wow. That's crazy. I can understand why they were farming it, although I think it stinks that they did it, so...
Well, I think the manner that they were doing it was kind of harmful to the...
Well, yeah, if you can't get your stuff done, then that's...
to the, you know, server, I guess.
And they sell for, apparently, on the age for like 40 gold. All right. Yeah, I can understand why that was being ridiculous. Okay. Well, then going into the developer bytes, the XP Disabler is going live in Update 9 for 495 turbine points.
And it's a... pocket item. Is that correct? It's no longer a tome, a consumable.
Yeah, I think that that was one of the things that people complained about, is that they hated
so
the
it's
fact
something
that it
you
was...
can. So it's like the opposite of like our Rohan stone or whatever they gave us for the pre-order. You put it on and you don't get experience. You take it off, you get experience. Whereas this pocket item that we got with Rohan and with Isengard is you put it on and you get 25% more experience or whatever it is. So it works the same way. Which I think is nice. So it's a one-time purchase for your disabler, and you control it by taking it on and off. I think that sounds the most useful way to do it.
And then you write to Turbine when you forget to turn it off, asking them why.
And then you're all like, I haven't got experience for a week. Oh, that's because you're a big dummy.
Yeah, you wanted it. You got it. All right. Some other news that's going around... Let's see, I'm trying to find the link here, but Scarecrow, who deserves a pat on the back for as much time as they have spent in the forums.
Good job, Scarecrow.
Is updating Bree, and one of the things that he's looking at is talking to Aven, apparently the crafting god or goddess, and she's going to start looking into allowing ovens to grant the ability to cook recipes that require a campfire.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, cooking is cooking.
With the logic that if you could cook something over a campfire, you should be able to cook it in an oven.
Right. Cooking is cooking. Like, if you're applying heat, it doesn't really matter the source, right?
Yeah. More or less, I guess.
You could figure it out. You could adapt.
Right.
So that's a good... That's a good... well, it's something that they're trying to do, right? It's not an...
yeah, it's kind of a... It's just something that they're thinking about doing. They also commented that they would probably, if they did that, they would not do the reverse, where campfires could not cook oven things. So,
well, it's a campfire. Ovens is like distributed heat. I can see that.
Right. Now, also, Aubergine XX, who apparently doesn't think that players should be the only people with unpronounceable names, listed some of the things that changed with the Yule Festival that should be visible in the update. The more the merrier deeds have all been decreased.
So we talked about this last week where I was ranting about the changes to the Yule Festival. And they have made changes. The deeds are still there, which I'm kind of not crazy about.
Yeah.
They made the Golden Festival tickets not expire. It was one thing I had no problem with. Like, but they will not expire, so you can use them throughout every festival. And the more the merrier deed. It was down. It was 200 quests you had to get done in the 16 days that the festival's open. And it's now 120. They removed 80 of the required deeds total to get to tier 3, which is how you get the worst deed and the Yeti clothes.
Okay. I don't understand why you put deeds in here. I still don't get it.
That's the only thing that is kind of killing it, because it makes it a grind. Now it's a... It doesn't matter. It's like I have to do 120 quests if I want to get those snow Yeti shoes, which I do. I have to do 120 quests in 16 days.
Apparently people, there's snow Yeti shoes.
Oh my God, they're adorable. I don't think they're called Yeti shoes, but they look like furry little, like, what do they call them in the snow beasts. They're like furry and they got little claws on them. Adorable. I need them. I don't think I have any pictures of them. I probably have some pictures of them actually on my machine upstairs, but maybe I'll find them and share them. But they are absolutely adorable and I need them. Like poop on the Warsteed. My Warsteed doesn't need to look like a Christmas pony, I guess. But the other stuff is in there too. So I'm glad that they are doing something. I'm glad that they are listening, that they heard that 200 was way too much for 16 days, but it's still, I don't know, like I'd have to
ridiculous.
Do 8 quests a day, every day for 16 days. There's only 12 repeatable, I think, if I did every single one. So there's a chance there that I could do like a 4 extra a day and every other day, maybe skip a day. But the thing is that I didn't get to play at all this week at all. And it's not Christmas yet. Like people are going to miss things over the Christmas holidays. It just seems like unnecessary stress. And I'm refusing to buy the festival tickets on principle. I'm refusing simply because why are we all of a sudden charging for all these festivals? They're supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be extra goodies. Like, okay, buying an extra pick because you don't want to wait 15 minutes, I guess. But, oh, do you really want that Warsteed? It's different, you know? Buying a thing so you can run the egg thing, it's a game of chance. You're buying a raffle ticket to see if you'll get the golden egg. This, you're saying, oh no, if you do this 120 times, then we'll allow you to go buy this thing. So yeah, go do it. It's different to me. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's more than a little ridiculous.
So I'm not, if you like it, if you are happy with 120, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm fine with it. It's obvious that they want to do the deed thing. That's fine. I still don't think that I don't even know if I could do it, even at 120 with my current play schedule. I really don't.
I'm not. I'll answer that.
You never do.
All right. The Steed of the Warden is also coming soon. Somebody kind of called out Lotro or Turbine, rather, saying that, you know, the last time that they did a lottery for a class steed was for the lore master, but not for the minstrel or the captain.
Right.
So Sapiens dropped by saying that considering Class D lotteries are almost 24 to 72 long, I guess that would pretty much be the entire world covered by the range of them. He said, no, there were neither minstrel nor captain lotteries. However, Christmas is coming, as they say, and so is the Steed of the Warden. So we may see some Christmas-type lotteries for these horses, probably for a variety of them, and also, the Steed of the Warden should be coming soon.
Good. I'd like to see if I can win a minstrel one, since they won't put it back in the stupid store.
And last but not least, the hobby horse will not be going live at the previous price. Now
it is going live.
Yeah, it didn't say whether or not it would be going live. It just said
won't be going live at that price.
Yeah, it won't be going.
So it's going live, just not the $50 because. Even they know that was crazy pants.
It was.
Yeah, it says, developers have been following this feedback over the weekend. The hobby horse will now not be going live at that price point. They are experimenting with items and pricing in the store. This test was, as obvious from your feedback, unsuccessful. The feedback was somewhat expected. So why did you ask us?
Because they wanted to see if they could get it by.
From what you appear to be saying, something with a high price should have more of a use to it. While flying mounts are not on the table, the developers are interested in what type of item you are all looking for in a store item. These could range from Siri to Sirius. Let the devs know.
Right. Also, it is another way for you to say, hey, it could have been 5,000, but now it's going to be 2,000. Don't you want it?
Yeah, they didn't tell us what it's going to be, but okay. It's definitely going in the store as a mount, because they haven't said anything about function changes.
Well, they should. I mean, they should. You know what they should have done? They should have gathered up as much, and I'm sure they did to an extent, but they should gather up as much as input like they did with the XP disabler and change it to that. I don't think it should be released as it is. I cannot see anybody buying this other than just for funsies, and you shouldn't spend even $10 for it. It's ridiculous.
You think it'll be priced? Well, I mean, maybe it'll be a price the same as a starter steed.
In that case, I would consider it.
Because it's got the same function as a starter seed.
Yeah. In that case, I would actually consider it at that point. It might be something fun to have. All right. In store news, Steam offers a Mac client and new Steam starter pack.
So the Mac client is now available through Steam. It is not required to play through Steam if you have a Mac and you love Steam. This is just another opportunity, and we thought we'd let you know about it. You can, if you're already using your Mac client that you got a couple weeks back, don't worry about it. It's the same client. You're not getting anything special through Steam. I always get those questions. there's a new starter pack that they are offering called the Steely Dawn Pack. It is $19.99 USD. However, if you live in some place that uses British pounds, you should go check out Steam because they have it incorrectly priced at $4.99. It might be worth it. But here in the U.S., it is $19.99, and it includes the Steely Dawn Cosmetic Armor Set. It is a 5 armor piece set that is grayish. It looks like it would go well with the starter pack that we had previously, where we had the, what's that horse called? The Noble Steed or Noble whatever. Fine Noble Steed or something like that.
Right.
It comes with the Evanim Quest Pack, which is weird because so did the last starter pack. But the other starter pack came with like 2 other ones too. So it only has 1 quest pack. It's Evendim. If you already own Evendim, of course, it's not going to help you at all. If you do own Evendim and you buy this, you can still buy this because it'll just ignore the Evendim part and give you the other stuff. It'll give you 5 100% XP boosts. Why? I don't know. Because if it's a starter pack, you don't need XP boosts.
Huh.
And it includes 500 turbine points.
Well, when you give the 100 XP boost, then you introduce them to the store.
But there's other things. I mean, the 100 XP boost, you don't need XP boost. What are they racing for?
I don't know. Some people race.
Like, you're a level 5, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm a level 10. Wow, that's awesome. Now I don't know where the crap to go. I mean, is the goal just to get them through the free stuff quickly? So now they have to go buy Evendim? Oh, well, they have Evendim. So now they have to buy North Downs? I don't know.
Don't buy North Downs.
No, it's not worth it. I'm not, as you can probably tell from my attitude, I am not super excited about this pack.
So they remove the horse.
No, this is a completely different pack. This is the Steely Dawn whatever.
But I don't see the horse one anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore. Thanks for reading my post.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Well, so basically they revamped it. And I wonder if this is something that they're going to do constantly. Like they're going to constantly revamp the starter.
Well, they're adding new stuff. They added that Sam Gamgee one, and they've been tweaking stuff here and there. This is a lower price point than the current one. The current one, when it was full price, was $30. I got it for 50% off, so I paid $15 for it, but its retail price was $30. So this is $10 cheaper than the other one, but it also has half as many turbine points, only 1 quest pack where the other one had 3, and it's got a cosmetic set, whereas the other one had an account-wide 68% speed horse.
Which was the bomb to get it.
It was awesome.
Then everybody's like, I never have to buy a store horse again. And somebody at Turbine went, wait, what? What?
Yeah, it was amazing, though, and I hope that you all got one when they were on for 50% off for Black Friday.
Oh, it's so funny.
So that's the old pack is gone. We have pictures on the site. There's a picture of the set, but you know how things always look a little different when you're in game. So Krell and Katani both sent me pictures of what it looks like in game. So you can see it on a character in game. And it doesn't get a thumbs up for me, honestly.
No, it looks like crap. Sorry.
If you like the outfit and need Evandim, and it includes, you know, 500 turbine points and the XP boost, I suppose. I honestly don't think I could honestly recommend this to a friend to buy. If they were starting Lotro, I would not say, dude, you need to buy this. Whereas I would have said it for the other one.
Oh, yeah. The other one was easy.
Even at $30, I would have said, dude, you need this. Trust me.
Easily. Easily the choice of things to get. Just so easy. All right, so...
Oh, and Andy reminds me, the cosmetics are not dyeable.
Oh, that just makes them even worse.
I know. I'm sorry.
Guys, come on. Turbine, what the heck? Well, this is an awful pack. What did you do?
It's the Steely Dawn. It's not Steely Dawn.
You know how much stuff I could buy on Steam for $19? I mean, I scroll to the bottom here. Here's a full game for $5. I can probably find two more excellent games for... Oh, this has a 62 rating. So maybe I would get a different game.
Anyway, it's there, and I wanted to be, you know, sharing, I guess. I want to let everybody aware it's there. But I'm not expecting it to be a big Christmas seller.
No. Sorry.
Weekly store sales. Let's see. This week, we have
stuff.
Virtues are 30% off. This is kind of a meh. You could do it or not. It's a situational thing. We don't recommend it specifically if you're lower level, because it's kind of easier to grind stuff out sometimes. You get turbine points if you grind, that kind of stuff. So 30% off is not so bad. It's more expensive than it used to be. This is one of the items that did get an increase with Rohan, just to warn you. So if it's like $277, that doesn't seem like 30% off. It's because the prices increased before, back when Rohan launched. So these are the new higher prices. Oh, Norman named a ship Golden Star in FTL. I feel honored.
Yay!
Trait slots are on sale. What?
I don't know what FTL
is. I don't know either. I think that Optum plays it too, because I think they talk about it sometimes, and I don't know what they're talking about. Trait slots are 30% off. This gets a thumbs up. It's important because they're basically like extra stats that you can apply to your character. We don't recommend them right away. Usually around level 40 is when you'll start noticing that they really are benefiting you. And they are free for VIPs. VIPs do not need to unlock them. They're unlocked by level, so they may appear like you can't use them, but they are locked by level. So just to make you aware of that, VIPs do not have to buy these. But we do recommend that these are something that other players do purchase eventually. Something to look at. And 30% off is not a bad deal. Slayer Deed Accelerators are 30% off. This gets a thumbs up because this can,
Well, it rockets you through.
Cuts the grind. La, la, la.
And you can work on several deeds at once.
Yep. Skill deed boost to 30% off. This gets a meh. These are the ones that double your class skills. So if you need to res somebody 100 times, if you need to use such and such stupid skill 100 times, this doubles it. Now just make sure that when you use this, it is a timed event thing, so make sure that you're going to be using that skill as much as possible, or skills. It's not just for a skill. You can use any skill that you want to double them up all the way. So it's kind of like, it's your choice. If you're in the need of one, get one when it's 30% off.
I am in the need of one.
Oh, yeah?
I guess.
Oh, okay. December deals for December 7th through 9th. They have 30% off Tomes of Mount Agility, 50% off Relic Packs, but not including the new tier, and 50% off 100% Experience Boosts. They're really pushing those Experience Boosts.
Because it's the only one in the game. I want my 6-hour ones back, people. What? I take a long time.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the ones that are on sale. They're only on sale until the 9th. Yeah, no coupon code needed. They should just be on sale.
Okay. All right. So we also had some CSTM news. Finally, previews the Necromancer fix. A nice video by Pineleaf. Seeing that if there was, I think it was a couple weeks ago, that Pineleaf had a workaround for a bug that was in the Necromancer's Gate. So he went to, I like his wording, so I decided to check to see if matters were any better. I'm not going to attempt to imitate Pineleaf's incredible accent. So I'm going to do my own dramatization of Pineleaf. I decided to check to see if matters were any better in the breaching of the Necromancer's Gate skirmish. Has the fell beast learned to fly any better? Or does it still need, to paraphrase Lotor Reporter, some better landing lights? So he comes to the conclusion, although you should check out the, definitely check out the YouTube video. It's only a minute and 37 tips. Oh, I have my speakers on. It is a vast improvement, he says, over the behavior of the last two updates. Now, just needs to reach live, which sometimes in itself is a journey. Because sometimes things get dropped between Boror and live. Very rarely, but sometimes it happens. So, I think that this will be one thing that will they'll come in, though. And I can't say it's one of my favorite skirmishes, so I don't know if I'll experience it, but...
Isn't this the one you ran all the time, though?
No, Battle in the Tower I ran all the time. Oh, Battle in the Tower. I, like, had a worn path through the tower. Lieutenants would spawn and go, oh, you again? Really? Golden Star would come up. She'd accuse me of not tanking elementals.
I could have swore it was that one, though.
No, that one was the one where you died and you were like, you didn't tank it!
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the Necromancer's
Gate. It was the Necromancer's Gate, yes.
It's like that thing was following me around and blowing up, and I'm like, what the crap, tank? You suck.
She did. The person who hates blaming it on the healer blamed it on the tank.
It was following me around and blowing up.
They have random aggro.
That's what the tank says.
All right, so in less accusatory articles. Vraiden's introductory guide to reading, part one.
This is meant for casual players, which is, of course, our casual Stroll to Mordor audience. So,
if you want to submit a hardcore rating one, we'll definitely take that into consideration. I'm just saying,
if you are a hardcore raider, don't go over here and poop all over Vraiden's work. It pisses me off.
No, what you do is you go, hey, I am a hardcore raider, and if you would like, I would love to submit something for you in order to give you a hardcore perspective. And we would say, sure, that would be fine. Otherwise, we'll just delete your post.
Pretty much. So, anyway, he's going to break this up into a couple parts. I think he said three. I'm pretty sure he said three. And so he's going to be covering multiple things to help someone who's never raided before. Whoops, I'm sorry, Gandalf. I just knocked Gandalf around. Someone who's never raided before and who's a casual player, kind of helping them prepare, find out what kind of stuff they should be doing, and so that when they join their first raid, they're not completely clueless is the goal.
Okay. I think that that is a good and noble article, Vraiden, because people wonder about this. I mean, people who have been raiding for a long time, you may be wondering what the big deal is, but there are people who don't know how to go into raiding.
Vraiden says it's going to be broken into four. Okay. I'm just mistaken.
There are people who are not familiar with raiding. They're not comfortable with it. It's something that they may have been playing MMOs for a long time. I can think of one person offhand who plays multiple MMOs, has played MMOs forever, and rarely ever raids because they don't have the time. He's got 12 kids, 3 jobs, and 12 wives.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm making stuff up now. Oh. But no, I'm at,
like, I do not know this person.
I'll go ahead. No, it's Sip. Sip plays MMOs. He writes for Massively, but he doesn't have the time for raiding. This is something that he might enjoy if he was to get into raiding. So there you go.
He's got 12 kids and 12 wives.
No, he doesn't. I think he's got 3 kids and 1 wife. He does have 2 jobs, though.
Andy B says that 12 kids is a pre-made raid team, though.
Yeah, he's going to start with a basketball team, move to baseball, and then a raiding. So there you go. Well, it should probably be raiding in the baseball team, but who's counting? All right, so anyways, in community news, there's a free Coursera online course covering Lotro. Where else can you go to school and learn about Lotro?
Yeah, I've never heard of Coursera before, so I'm sorry. We got a ton of people email this to me. So thank you all for letting me know, because I had never heard of this before and I would not have been able to share it. What it is there's going to be an online course entitled Online Games, Literature, New Media, and Narrative. This can be taught by Professor of English Jay Clayton of Vanderbilt University. And they're talking, the course syllabus actually includes Lotro, and they're talking about how they're like some of your assignments might be like interactive in-game things that you have to do. So they're talking about WoW, but they're focusing on Lotro because, of course, Lotro is based off of literary works, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, and how it translates to the movies and to games, and that's the kind of the topic that they're going over. Very interesting. It is a free course. It doesn't start till July, so you have to mark your calendars. But it's a free course that you can sign up for. And some people have commented that you don't even have to do the homework if you don't want to. If you just want to participate and hear his lectures and get into the, you know, discussion, you're able to do that.
No, I think this is cool. I really like online learning. I mean, I went to school online. But also, I like there's a tons of online courses like Code Academy and some other places where you can learn some things that you usually had to go to get like $50 books or spend thousands of dollars on classes, and now you can just go online. It's pretty awesome. Yay for the internet.
Yay.
All right. I also wanted to put out the Superior Study Sleep Nurse Stone. This was posted by my beautiful wife, Golden Star.
Well, I found it on the forum, so I didn't find this.
Who found it on the forums and then posted it here? So
Rip and Tuck is the post that I found that showed it, but apparently it had been shown before as well by Daros back in September, and I didn't see that one. But it's
just a cool little thing that shows you how Lotro is trying to incorporate some actual real life, you know, kind of like Tolkien artwork into the game. And, of course, changing it up a little bit to be more game-appropriate and Rohan-appropriate.
Rohan related, right.
Instead of a boat, there's a person on a horse, which makes sense. And that's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, the Sleipner Stone, Sleipner, I don't know how you say this.
I don't.
But it's a real stone that's ancient artwork by Vikings. And it's showing Odin on his eight-legged horse, which, of course, is Lotro-appropriate for Rohan.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was pretty cool that something real was kind of being adapted and shown in the game to, you know, just add another, you know, devs are doing their homework kind of thing is how I felt.
All right. I also, well, I originally went to this post because I was reading dev through dev posts, but Saleth has another, oh, come on, you're kidding me. Mm-hmm. Saleth has another guide to the Great Goblin. And
it's gone?
Not gone. I'm pretty sure I
just linked wrong.
Linked incorrectly. I will find it though. But it's another guy by Saleth who also does some great. Yeah, there we go. Does some great work with plugins as well. So I just want to say thank you, and I will find this Saleth and I will link to it correctly.
Okay. Last week's poll was talking about the hobby horse functions. We knew that the crazy pants price was out of the window. So this was asking what kind of function you think the hobby horse should have. Should it be an actual mount? Should it just be a toy? Should it be an emoid? That kind of thing. So we had 825 voters on this poll. And 60% said not as a mount at all, just a toy or an emote. 22% say it shouldn't be in the game at all. 8%, which is a huge drop. I mean, 60, 22, 8. 8% say that a 68% mount. 7% say as is a 40% mount. 2% say other, and 1% said a 62% mount. So most people say that it's okay to be in game, just it shouldn't be a mount. And pretty much another like quarter of people were saying, don't even give it to us.
I really think that they need to get rid of it. I mean, unless you're going to make it, I kind of like the idea of a, well, at first I was thinking it would make a good emote, but it would also be something that would just be fun to have, but you can't charge $50 for it.
They're not going to. They're not going to. I know. That's not, the price is not the thing that we're talking about. We're talking about the function.
Well, I'm okay with it being just something fun. I don't know if I like the idea of it being a mount, because I don't know. Being a mount would be okay. I mean, if that, in all reasonability, the way I imagine it in my head, it would be similar to a mount, but without like the morale or something. So I guess it really wouldn't be a mount.
It's got 250 morale, or it did on
Battle. I guess it would just be something like you would just walk around with it on. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's fine. Make it a mount. I don't care.
I think that's what it's going to happen. It's just not going to be $50. Who knows what it's going to be, but it's not going to be $50.
$49.95.
All right. This week's poll is talking about maintenance announcements. Kia sent this in asking, where do people mostly get their maintenance news? I think that she's sick of me posting them on CSDM and she wants me to stop, but she's too nice to ask. I usually schedule them ahead, because Turbine will tell us on Friday that they're doing maintenance, and I'll post it on Sunday as like a reminder. We had a whole weekend, and so you probably forgot, but Monday there's going to be downtime. And so I try to space it out, so I'm not, I don't know. I don't really give a crap. If you don't want me to post it, I won't post it. Just say it, don't post it. But
I don't think that's what Kia's saying.
I think it's what Kia thinks.
Maybe. Silly girl.
Locho, but the choices are Locho forums. You get it off of the at Locho on Twitter. You get it from the launcher or when you try to log in, which is the launcher, people. It's one item. Stop telling me to add the launcher and the login as two separate items. It's the launcher, okay? One item. It's a stupid who cares poll. Just pick it. So you get it from a CSTM post, a bit here and there, never the same source or other.
She's actually right. It is called lotrolauncher.exe. And, well, I'm a nerd, so I know that. So, anyways, moving on, Riddles in the Dark. Riddles in the Dark is a bi-weekly podcast series by Dr. Corey Olson, the Tolkien professor, and David Cale, who will laugh at us while they're watching The Hobbit when they look at our spreadsheet and see how many things we've gotten wrong.
However, fun to see how much we got wrong.
Yeah, their discussion will focus on the themes, characters, and events of Middle-earth that lay groundwork for intelligent speculation about how the book may be translated into film, rather than the debacle that you are about to listen to. Each episode will culminate with hosts making a specific prediction about the upcoming films to be proven or disproven when the films are finally released. For more information on the Riddles of the Dark may be found at a link in the show notes. I think that's suitable, don't you?
Yeah, I usually post this whole thing in the show notes.
So. Okay. All right, so what evidence will the audience see in The Hobbit, an unexpected journey of Saruman's impending villainy? I'm guessing Okay, so A, none whatsoever, no hints, the Christopher Lee answer. I wish I knew what that meant. Christopher Lee said that either gives no hints when he gets interviewed or whatever. The man's like a billion years old. We can leave him alone.
He can give no hints. It's okay.
I don't think it was safe for him to fly. All right. So foreshadowing and dramatic irony, suspicious reactions to news on the council, etc., but nothing definite and no one suspects him. C. Some members of the council clearly suspect him and may even discuss it behind his back, but the audience sees no clear evidence. D. The audience gets clear evidence that Saruman is evil or becoming evil, even if other characters do not see it. D. Going with D. I'm going to say it.
He wasn't evil to begin with. Like, in the Lord of the Rings, he's not in The Hobbit that I recall, so I don't have anything in there to discuss. But in the Lord of the Rings,
not even mentioned.
Gandalf talks about, you know, Saruman being the head of his order, being super, super wise, somebody who will know what to do. He's not evil. He is a respected wizard.
But it's going to be something that needs to precursor the Lord of the Rings, so you're going to get hit over the hammer with it.
I can see that. You're going to get hit over the hammer. Okay. What does that even mean?
Head over the hammer. It's like getting hit over the head with a hammer. but it's worse.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say none. I don't think it belongs in there. Who gives a crap? He's supposed to be a good guy here. I can see it, though. I know that I'm probably wrong, simply because people who are Lord of the Rings movie watchers don't think about this as a previous thing. While they're watching it, they're like, that's the bad guy. Movie 2 bad guy right there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be a bad guy. He's going to be like, he's going to be nice and noble and stuff. He'll be a good guy, but then there's going to do something. And he's going to be like, ooh,
then
Palantir.
Why
are you picking D? D, because he's going to pull out like a keychain with a Palantir on it. And it's going to be
Palantirs aren't bad. That's how they were discussing things with the other kingdoms. That's why it was created.
Yeah, but it's going to have an eye in it and stuff. And he's going to be like, he's going to have like a Club Evil shirt or something. I don't know. He's going to be, something's going to happen, and Saruman is going to be foreshadowed as becoming evil. I'm guaranteeing.
You're saying that foreshadowed. You're saying the audience gets clear evidence that he is evil or becoming evil.
Yes. Exactly. I'm going to be, they're going to like, they're going to defeat like the necromancer or something, and he's going to be like picking up necromancer books or something like that. Like, he's going to go to the gift shop and stuff. It's going to be obvious that he's becoming evil.
Okay.
We're never going to see a pure Saruman. I'm sorry. Right. And with that debate, we will head into Raise Your Glass.
He's probably on the show for like 2 seconds.
Probably, yeah. He's probably
like, you're right. We should do something about that necromancer.
Let's go. And then it's like the back of him the entire time because it was a different actor.
Everyone, please, raise your glass with me.
Doctor said he'll be riding an evil of yours.
That would be awesome.
That would be so awesome. All right, letters. Anonymous says, since my ex-boyfriend and I split up, I'm feeling somewhat lost in the game. We met through Lotro and have had a long-term relationship. We did everything together in the game. Unfortunately, it leaves me in an awkward place game-wise now. I love playing and would like to still continue to move on. I made a few alts on other servers, but it's lonely. I'd like to find a warm kin to join. Any suggestions?
So this is tough because you guys both played Lotro. A server transfer might be helpful. A name change might be something that you might want to do just to start kind of fresh.
That's a good idea.
You know, have the people who, you know, because that always happens.
It does happen.
People always
happen.
Turn into, like, children over breakups, and they're all like, you were mean to my friend, so I'm going to be a turd to your face. So.
Okay.
You don't think that happens?
Yeah, it does. I remember I had a circle of friends, and I had a parting of ways with one of the girls, and then another girl who was my friend got all objected of that.
Exactly.
So, actually, ironically, me getting a fight with my friend caused the ex to and I actually to resolve things. And then after that, the friend and I resolved things. So, like, she caused us, she smoothed things over by being a total jerk. So, that's what you should do. You should, like, totally get a total. No, honestly, what I would do is I would consider finding a kinship. And a big kinship that's fun, that fits your playstyle, and that talks, and that you can have fun with. Something that does things all together. If only there was.
Yeah, I don't know what kind. You didn't give us anything of what you like. If you like, if you're a raider, if you are just a socialite who likes to do stuff with your kin every now and then, if you're an RPer, you know, let us know what alts you're on, and maybe we can give you some suggestions of kins.
You know, the Secret Fire. On Landerville.
Yeah, the Council of Secret Fire on Landerville is ours. It's a family-friendly kin. You must be over 16. I think that's the only rule we have.
Lonely Mountain Band.
Lonely Mountain Band is big into RP. They're a wonderful group. They're very, very large. Groups like Sons of Numenor are... Mm-hmm.
Sons of Numenor is a good
one.
...are
fantastic. These are all Landerville because we're Landerville players.
Old Timers Guild is a good one.
Those are on Gladden.
Yeah, you can go by the forums, on the official forums, and go to the kinship section for your server if you want to check it out. changing your name isn't bad. I actually knew somebody in EverQuest who did that, who had to do that because she got harassed after she broke up with somebody. So
you can pay for a name change in the store. Of course,
then she told everybody that she changed her name. So, I mean, that worked out really well.
That's kind of dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb. But EverQuest was also the kind of place where if we saw somebody high level with a bunch of gear, we're like, where did you come from?
But I'm just saying that if she's feeling a little lonely, a name change might be a first start.
I mean, you can do server transfers or things like that, and if you really wanted to keep your character. But yeah, I think you know, right there at the very end is, I'd like to find a warm kin to join, is something that you should highly consider.
Aline is saying, Muckin Fuddle on Gilrain. She's still trying to get me to swear. I didn't do it.
Aline is actually a very sweet person. So yeah, you can definitely go by that one as well. So there you go. There's lots out there. And, you know, it could be, you know, just find one that suits your needs and feel free. I think we tend to try not to kin jump, but sometimes that's the only way you can really find one that fits you.
Dracula is saying the Academy on Arkenstone.
There you go. So, hey, there's lots out there. And if anybody has other suggestions, send it to us and we'll read them out or try and get them back to this person.
Freyden is saying TOG and a Lindelmere.
Tog.
So you're getting some options here. That's
good. Yeah. A visitor from another server on Landerville is Opidum. That's one for people who purely are visiting.
Yeah. So if you're visiting on Landerville and just want to get into a kin that's not really, they're only active during events. Okay. Osgiliath Guard. We're getting out the old guard. There's all kinds of stuff.
The old gits. I like that.
Oh, it's the Osgiliath Guard. That's what TOG stands for.
Yeah. Okay.
The old gits.
That's funny. All right. So Cessna writes, hey, CSDM, I'm just curious. Why is the Slayer deed accelerates get a thumbs up and virtues from the Lotra store get a meh? I at higher deed levels kill a bazillion orcs. Okay. That one I can understand. You actually spend less turbine points just buying a virtue outright and then buying enough Slayer deed accelerators to get the deed done. Plus the virtue purchase, you don't have to grind at all. I agree that virtue purchases at lower levels are a waste of TP, but some higher level ones can save hours of time and some TP too, versus buying deed accelerators. Just thought I'd ask. Thanks for all you do, Cessner of Lotro Library, Landerville. First of all, love your site, Cessner, and it's good to hear from you again. So we discussed this in the car driving home from work because we're boring and lonely people. And she's trying to keep me awake so I don't drive off the road.
He's trying to kill me.
Yeah, that actually has been a problem lately. all right, so one of the things that we discussed is that, yes, at lower levels, definitely a waste of TP. Yeah.
I think that the main reason I give Slayer Deeds a thumbs up and Virtues a meh. Meh is not a bad thing. Meh just means you have to make a personal choice. Right. Meh means it might be good for some person, but completely useless for another person. Means it's a personal choice. A thumbs up on a Slayer Deed is because they have multiple uses. A Slayer Deed allows you to complete several deeds at once if you want to. Completing deeds is more favorable to just buying a virtue because completing a deed gives you titles, it gives you turbine points, and it gives you virtues. So they grant stuff back to you by completing deeds as compared to just buying your virtues. I'm, again, not saying buying virtues are bad. I don't think that there's anything wrong with buying virtues. I actually thought, and maybe it's different because I haven't really been paying attention to Rohan, but I thought that Turbine had been doing very good at the end level zones of not making it up a billion orcs.
Yeah, the last two, actually ever since Moria, they've really done a good job of decreasing the requirements. Some of them are ridiculous. And I wouldn't necessarily agree that it's the higher level ones. I would say actually most of that, like level 50 ones that were aimed at 50 around there, are the worst ones because they're ridiculous numbers. And in that connotation, I definitely agree with you. There are times that it's easier. It's definitely worth it to purchase it. I've ground a couple of deeds using accelerators, and you're right. I might have spent less money. I don't know if I would have spent less TP. I definitely would have saved a little bit more sanity had I had I just done it and bought it outright. So, you know, we'll give it either way, but right now that's just kind of the way that we feel about it.
And again, man doesn't mean don't buy it. Man, yeah, means think about it. It's not an automatic purchase.
Yeah, it's a yellow. It's a think. Wait. Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, going on to player achievements, Katie Pie. I like that.
Katie Pie. That's cute.
Lily Kate says, I did really well this evening when I attended a trivia quiz in Brie, hosted by Swifty and Hamo Ken. Hey, there's another Ken. That's good. It pays to know one's Lord of the Rings trivia. I am now 10 gold richer with some nice dies and items when I level into the higher numbers. Thanks to S&M, your newest and biggest fan.
So it's bestest.
Newest and bestest fan. Lily Kate, level 27 of the Academy Ken Arkenstone. So there you go. The Academy Ken on Arkenstone and Swifty and Hamo are both good guilds. There you go. Kinships.
Acasio writes, Nimrodal, Sheriffs of Cydonia kinship, Sinowin Hunter, hit level 67. Zomigard! Hunter feels slow compared to my champ. Heydrich Thistlebottom, Warden, skirmished his way from level 21 to 22. Alex Heal, champion, 85. Grind, 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 grinding, hype old. Said in a sing-song manner. Oh, grind, 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 grinding, hype old. There. Landable, no kin. Logged in after last CSTM podcast and listened to the BBB concert at the Prancing Pony.
Cool. Trisky says, today my two level 85 hobbits, Halfwise and Marmifel of Imladris, scored the killing blow on Bugrud with, I'm sure I'm not saying that right, within hours of each other. And yes, I do have the screenshots to prove it. Nice.
Talagar says, well, after an extended 6 months absence from Lotro, I was returned last week with a vengeance. I continued to listen to Casual Stroll the whole time, though, so I was never uninformed of the goings-ons of Lotro. Except for last week when we forgot to do that big news about, you know, instances or whatever. My hunter...
I don't recall that actually being released by Turbine until we announced it.
Right. My hunter Talangar reached level 85, achieved the title of Easternet Master Scholar, and was lucky enough to get a tarnished symbol of Celebimbor from a silver box after helping take down the Bugged Warband. Oh, and my hobbit minstrel, Cook, made Easternet Master Cook so as to keep me supplied with plenty of nummies.
Yay.
It's good to be back.
All right, and we'd like to thank Michael S. for his donations. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
So how can people contact us if they would like to do so?
You can visit our blog at casualstrolltomordor.com. You welcome your email to podcast at casualstrolltomordor.com. We are available to follow on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Steam, and I post on all four of those. I do. You're welcome to join any or all of them. You can leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. I don't think we've had a review on iTunes since October.
Yeah.
So maybe, please. It's a Christmas present to me. I'd appreciate it. Listen to us live every Saturday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Middle Earth Network TV.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in, listening. Gosh, I wish I could give you an answer on... I don't think that the holidays are really going to affect us very much.
But we're planning to stay in town and everything, so I don't expect us to be a problem.
Yeah.
Next week is The Hobbit, though. Movie.
Yeah, that might affect it. We'll let you know, though, ahead of time. Okay, so anyways, thank you for tuning in, listening, downloading, streaming, whatever it is that you do to listen to the show. We really appreciate it. We will talk to you again next week.
And don't forget, still vote for Hopperella Daily.
Yes, please
until
do.
The 21st.
You've been listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor. For more information, go to www.casualstrolltomordor.com or visit us on mymiddleearth.com. That's mymiddle-earth.com.